Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast hosted by me, Ben Vanel, and him, Adam Knox.
That's me. I'm him. Him only. Only ever say him. I want to be treated. I'm a song in a church all the time.
Oh,
speaking okay. of what to call things. I scrubbed through like the episode. This is a show about House of the Dragon. Did you say that? Yeah, sure.
I said that. Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, yes.
At the start of the theme song, when you've got the captions on, it says in brackets for music, epic theme playing. And it makes it feel like it's like a fucking Rage comic from 2011.
Yeah. Or like one of those, I don't know if you've seen those, I'm sure you have, the like epic Buzz Lightyear trailer remix, and it's like someone remakes a song and puts like strings behind it.
Yeah. The epic version of like the Mandalorian theme, and it's like, cunt.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It already was recorded by an orchestra.
Yeah, you've made this just more generic.
Why are you turning up the saturation on just the color neon pink? I prefer to think of it as the Le Drago in, you know, millennial kid.
Yeah. So House of the Dragon, abbreviated on social media to HOTD, which if you say out loud is Hot D.
The Hot D, and certainly in this episode.
That's right. I'm happy to start calling it that from now on, inspired by the events of episode 4, King of the Narrow Sea. But before we jump into our recap, we got a shit ton of emails this week.
Can I ask quickly, just because I guess we'll name the title again later, but before I forget, if we don't, is King of the Narrow Sea a pussy joke? Are they make? Because this episode is all about fucking.
God, it is too. Yeah, let's say it is.
I think they're making a pussy joke.
The Narrow Sea was already a thing, like that was mentioned in Game of Thrones, but you're right, that's a pretty good, pretty subtle pussy joke.
Yeah, damn.
Good for them.
Hey, well done. It's hard to come up with a subtle pussy joke.
It certainly is. And this episode
was...
It's
tough to find them.
Yeah, all right.
Hard to come across them.
It's hard to find
them.
The pussy, is it?
Yeah. Really difficult to come across them.
I mean, I guess, you know, individual circumstances may vary. But we got a bunch of emails. I'll rattle through a few of them quickly. Some of them are a bit more in-depth. But one here from James, who also emailed about 10 minutes after the episode 4 aired. So he's going to get in twice this episode, but they're both nice and succinct. It's actually Tolkien Taters from the Filthy Casuals patron. I'm sure you'd see that name in the Discord, Knox. James points out Caraxes, which is Daemon's dragon, is deformed. That's why he looks like a big wiggly worm, which we pointed out last week. I think, he suggests that was just to make the dragons look more distinct from each other. Mm. But, Daemon's one specifically is deformed, which, hey, do you think that means something?
I get, like, as in deformed, as in doesn't look like a typical dragon, or literally, like, medically deformed? Because he seems all put together to me.
I think James is suggesting, like, in maybe in the material, the dragon is, like, big and long and weird and stretched out.
Like a snake.
As opposed to the other dragon. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Definitely, like, the dragons should represent, right, the people who are riding them. So
yeah,
it makes sense that he's like big and dangerous and weird and like a little different from the rest of them. Like, totally, right. That makes thematic sense. And I guess Yeah, I the word deformed threw me, but yes, I agree that he
is the
same on the outside as Damon is on the inside.
Totally. Kieran writes in and says a few things about some speculation that didn't pan out, but Kieran reckons that the time jumps that we're getting in these episodes, he's loving them. He says, I was a bit shocked when this is episode three, jumped forward 3 years, but it cuts out the fluff and makes every episode feel so full of plot and development, especially with Damon. How fucking sick was that action sequence? Keep up the great pod as always, Kieran. Thanks, Kieran. I agree. It feels like we're getting a lot going on, certainly in episode four as well. I don't know. Did you find it a bit... did you find it jarring at all when we skipped forward through time?
Yeah, well, because did you say earlier we had an email from someone who said it was jarring too? Because, like, I'm finding both.
Right.
There's a... The start of the episode before you know quite how far we've jumped in time, I'm lost. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's... caught up with who or where everyone is, but by the time the episode's over, they've made it all clear. So I like that it's able to tell a different kind of scale of story in terms of time, and then also it's a smaller scale story in terms of what's, you know, politically going on, I guess, compared to Game of Thrones. But it is confusing at times while you're trying to reorient yourself at the start of every episode.
Yeah, Patrick emailed saying that they found the time jump super jarring, and also said that he finds himself liking the characters but don't think the show is giving them enough time to be fleshed out, which I guess I can see if you're expecting to see them, you know, like a Joffrey or an Arya, like, grow, you know, like beat by beat. But I find, like, yeah, because of the thing you said, Nox, the story... is on a much smaller scale. I feel like we're getting to know the characters super, super well, but I guess your mileage varies.
I agree, but yeah, we're only four episodes in as of now, right? So, like, of course, I know these characters less than even the ones that die early in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But I do think we're getting to spend, a good amount of time with them. And really, at this episode in particular, I'm really starting to feel like the King especially... pretty clear. Like every character had more time here. I do think that I know them well enough. They're my friends in real life.
There was a great one from Brad who points out something I realized during this episode when I looked through the cast, that Millie Alcock is Australian. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all. That's all I wanted to point out. She's an Aussie. Go Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi. Courtney echoes the thoughts of a few people. She wanted to push back, I guess, against your critique of the very entertainment value-y last-minute save versus the crab feeder. Mm. We definitely mention it as well, because this was the reason I didn't have a problem with it too much. But Courtney points out it had to be last minute to draw all the crab feeders' cell swords out. You could see him nodding out or like sending out different groups one by one, looking at the sky for a dragon. So that's why it had to be a little more drawn out. But it was also just, I think a very, as Courtney says, an overused TV trope, which is totally also a fair thing to be a bit miffed at.
I think that, because it wasn't a big deal, like I said last week, but it makes sense, but it also was just done goofily. Like last second, woof, swoop in dragon thing was the stuff about like season 8 of Game of Thrones in particular that I gelled with less. 7 and 8, honestly, where like that last minute save started happening more and more.
Right.
It's just a bit silly. Like, it doesn't matter that much. And I wouldn't notice it.
In comparison to the normal tone, right? Because the normal tone is it feels so grounded for a show that, like, we were talking with some friends yesterday. Like, for a show that's about dragons and shit like that, which can be a huge turnoff for people, it actually does feel surprisingly grounded most of the time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that I wouldn't notice that type of thing if it was in a fucking Thor movie or whatever. But that's because I'd be laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, so many good... Anyway, whatever, that's for a different...
That is for a different podcast. Subscribe to the Filthy Casuals Patreon to hear us talk about generic pop culture. But yeah, James Tolkien Taters got an email in about 20 minutes ago reflecting on the episode we're about to talk about, episode 4. Saying that he enjoyed the dynamic between Alicent and Rhaenyra. It's apparently a change from the book, but it's one of the best aspects of the show to James. And it's interesting how effectively uncomfortable this show is willing to be, which I, fully agree with as an observation. Good stuff, James. Thank you for everyone to everyone for emailing in. Are you talking to me pod@gmail.com for more thoughts if you want to share them. Well, we do appreciate them. But let's get the fuck stuck into episode 4 of House of the Dragon, King of the Narrow Sea, aka the Master of Pussy.
I don't get why it's named that if not for the pussy thing, because the King of the Narrow Sea would either be Thingo, right? Corlys.
Sure.
Or the guy that they talk about from the Free Cities who is maybe going to be involved from Braavos because his son is up for marriage. And so I don't quite understand, unless it's got to be the pussy joke. So anyway.
I think it's just because Daemon beat the crab feeder. And that took place in the Narrow Sea.
Oh,
it's
and they give him that crown. We'll get to that in a sec. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Of course, yeah. I forgot that bit.
It's literally this, just that. But then that's like tossed away after the first 5 minutes. So I can get why you didn't, particularly latch onto that. I think that's it.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
It's kind of more strange that it's the episode title than anything. But I guess there's a lot of Daemon stuff in this, so that's probably why.
Well, and that King of the Narrow Sea thing, we'll get to that, I suppose, because it opens up with this... caught up at, I think this is in possibly Dragonstone, or, you know, it's up somewhere where Rhaenyra's on tour. She's doing
it. It wouldn't be Dragonstone because that's where Daemon lives, but it's somewhere. Yeah. I don't know where it is.
Yeah. I guess he's at, but yeah, it's some hall. They're having this line of potential suitors for Rhaenyra who each of them are wronger age than the last.
Yeah. She's a real Goldilocks here, if you ask me. She just wants the one that's just right.
Yeah.
And she
she's being fussy.
I agree. Well, one's too old and one's too young. Although the young guy I liked, and I'm glad that he didn't get his guts spilled out over the floor.
Yeah, it's a tense sort of thing because she's not being particularly conciliatory to any of these people. And she's telling them, you're too old, you're too young. And they've all got their backs up. Some guy on the sidelines is calling everyone a cunt. A Baratheon guy. He's got the...
Oh, it's a Baratheon, right?
No, actually, I thought it was... but he's got a horse on him, not a lion.
Okay.
I think she may have a Baratheon sitting next to her. All the people are trying to get in. Beric Dondarrion is the name of the first guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Same as we'll get a similar named person, identically named, later on. But... yeah, there's some great background acting from some of the people. If you want to go back and rewatch just a bit where he calls the kid a cunt, everyone in the background is really giving it up with their facial reactions.
I'd be surprised if that guy isn't Australian because he says, you dumb cunt.
Yeah, yeah. I believe. Dumb cunt with barely a space between the two words is 100% the Australian way of doing it. So maybe this horse house is, you know, the house of... the castle or whatever.
Yeah. The house of Snowy River.
Yeah.
Some shit like that.
The Kath and Kim house. I'm just thinking of literal famous houses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a fight and she's off. She's sick of it and she goes home 2 months early, they say, from this tour. She's done bothering. And who else is having a little homecoming but Mr. Deformed Dragon himself, Daemon Targaryen, who does a flyby like in Top Gun, knocks everybody over.
Yep.
He's such a larrikin, to put it in dumb cunt terms, Australian terms.
He is. Secretly, like, toxic, but on the surface, pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, he's having a beer. Yeah. 10 years later, he's having a beer. Oh. he flies on home and it's tense. Somehow, like, the boat is already there and everybody's lined up in the hole and he must be waiting in some reception room before he comes in for this grand walk up of, like, is he going to try and stab the king? It seems everyone's thinking.
Right, but we'll let him walk up. Also, he got a haircut.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but he got a haircut and I noticed it.
His hair's a bit shorter. I guess to fit a crown on, because he's been given a crown by the people of the north, wherever he was, up near the crabs.
Yep.
They named him the King of the Narrow Seas, secretly calling him a pussy. Very funny of them.
Yes.
And there's a big sort of showy tense, like, what's going to happen here? And he kneels down and he hands the crown over and he says, my king and my lands and whatever and all of that stuff, it's all yours.
Yep.
Good on you, brother. See you later. It's all fine.
Yeah. Yeah, big round of applause. The brothers got back together. Yep. Daemon has showed fealty to Viserys. He killed the crab man for him. Add it to the chair is what he says, I think.
The big hammer,
says chair.
He does say chair, sort of mockingly. Oh. Like sort of, you know, downplaying the majesty of the throne, calling it a chair.
Right, right.
But the Triarchy, they're called up there. That's the name I keep forgetting.
That's right.
But they've made up. Everyone in the restaurant claps.
Yep.
And they sort of have a welcome home party, it seems, after this. Everyone's sort of chilling in the garden, eating little weird orange slices or something.
Yep.
Chatting about these tapestries they've got that the king sort of mockingly tells his wife, like, everyone thinks they're fucking bullshit.
God, he's acting a real dumb cunt in this scene, Viserys. He's drunk. He clearly has a drinking problem because this came up last week as well. He can't handle it. He's an emotional guy, as we've seen, and, you know, that's the kind of thing that's going to tip him over the edge. He starts acting like a prick, and he's a bit like the boys about it. He's like, oh, come on, hey, right, Daemon, right? Oh, yeah, bloody mum, she always said you were the favourite because you could do battle. Oh, geez, fuck tapestries, which leads to a bit of Rhaenyra and Alicent bonding.
Right, yeah. Alicent is sort of, you know, she hides it as she has been trained to do for her whole life, but she's obviously put off by that comment. And then Rhaenyra says she's going to go have a look at them on her own and just sits on a chair nearby, which is the great party move to be like, oh, I've got to go over here. All right. And then just look at your phone in the corner.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get a drink. Great to chat. I've got to go get a drink. Yep. And then you just go chat to someone else immediately next to them.
Go in the bathroom, look in the mirror and go, what are you doing here? What are you doing?
You
got
to get up for work tomorrow.
This
mate.
Is ridiculous.
Fuck. You don't... Yeah.
Why'd you call yourself the King of the Narrow Sea? It wasn't funny. What are you doing?
No one clapped. No one clapped at the party.
Why'd you lie about seeing those two fucking in the brothel? I don't think there was full penetration, so it's not technically fucking. But I'm not the king of penetration. I don't know.
Yeah, he's the king of making out, which is still a cool title to have. bit of bonding with those two. Rhaenyra obviously is like, my mum died giving birth, so you know I don't want to do that. I don't know if she says that now, but she's very much like, I don't want to get married. I don't want to go around, you know, talking to these dudes.
Yeah.
Alicent is like, it's kind of flattering though, isn't it? She's like, no, I want to, no, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm not into it at all.
I don't want to be imprisoned, you know, by being married to someone and having to pop out their children, which obviously Alicent is in exactly that position. So it's very... It's a shame that it's so timely to have this show about, like, royal succession and women's reproductive rights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very.
It gets a bit pointed at one point, which I think I'm fine with generally.
They're doing it well, I think, because nothing seems out of the world of this show, you know. It's all
taking
place here, and I don't mind stuff being a bit preachy, to be honest.
Actually, you can't... I think you're right. It's more that the current... state of politics and society is too on the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
Big blonde haired psychopath trying to become king. It's all here. It's all here.
It's all here. Reality is fucking copying Game of Thrones, dude. Get your own ideas.
Hot D. That's around in the world now too.
Yeah.
And then the party seems to have wound down, or they found a bit that's nearby or something, and Damon and Rhaenyra have a little chat about how he's like, whatever, being married is fucking bullshit, you can go do what you want anyway. And she's like, well, no, not if you have to get pregnant in a marriage. It fucks you.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, yeah, fair enough. But they're giving each other fucking looks this whole time, God. Too.
Even when he flew over on the dragon, she was like knocked over and got a concussion. She was like, wow, that was kind of fucking sexy.
Yeah. She's horned as hell. She like is following him when he's walking down the throne room. Every little moment is, it's making
gross.
Clear. I didn't think they would act on it because it was in the first couple episodes too a little bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they'd act on it by episode 4, but we're here.
I agree. I kind of thought this would be a big sort of climax, would you say, at some point. I've chosen my words very carefully.
So,
to not make it an implication.
Afterwards or the next morning or something like that, we've got sort of a larger council now supporting the king.
Yeah. Is there a large council and a small council? Because you're right, this was like 15 people. Although there were a lot of empty seats in previous scenes. I think they've just been filled out.
There's only a couple of that. Like, Rhaenyra is sitting in as though it's a matter of course now. And we've also got Jason looking bewildered down the bottom. Jason
That's
Lannister.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
But other than that, it's sort of the usual suspects. There's one shot of Jason and he just looks so fucking confused. That's all he does
he really
in this
does.
Scene. That is basically just about how Corlys is going to marry his daughter to the guy, the Braavos guy, who I don't think we learned
yes.
the name of.
Yep. The daughter that Viserys refused to marry.
Exactly. The very same.
The very one. Just a bit of underlining of how Viserys is too emotional and isn't fit to be king.
Little bit of Alicent looking unhappy to be wiggling a baby around to try and calm it down. Mm-hmm. And then Princess Rhaenyra returns to her chambers where there's a mysterious bag full with smelly clothes and a note that I never would have found if someone had intended for me to find this note.
Especially if you were a princess, I'd just be like, servant, get rid of this smelly clothes bag. What the fuck is it doing in here?
I mean, I don't know.
In the first place.
That would be the reason.
Garçon! Garçon, get rid of this bag.
Mine would be because I don't even fucking know where my own dirty laundry is, let alone seeing extra there. There's not a chance.
And it was dark. That's fair.
But she finds a secret Indiana Jones tunnel behind her bed, thanks to this little map. And goes down through some tunnels and shit and ends up finding Damon also dressed in commoner clothes. And they go out into the coolest city in the world.
Oh, it's so sick. I love this. They're all wearing like super dark ages, like hyper medieval, you know, like devil masks and flamethrowers are happening everywhere, which I did not know they really had at the time. But
it's fucking loots and explosions and mugs.
Yep. Yes, yeah.
It looks sick. There's a guy tightrope walking and no one's even watching. No one gives a shit.
There's face painting. It's wonderful.
There's a dead guy in the street, or maybe he's just drunk or something. But yeah, it's all kicking off in this fucking clown quarter. And, Damon's taken Alicent down. Oh, yeah, there's an eyeless fortune teller.
Oh, yeah, that was sick. I loved how this was edited together. It felt really like a little bit sort of expressionistic, like, you know, a bit like descending into the bowels of hell, but it's like a party. Like, I thought it was really, really well done. And like, we don't see a lot of this part of the world, I guess. You know, like we've seen in Game of Thrones, I guess, a bit of Gendry being the blacksmith. And we know that, like, what's his name was from Flea Bottom, but we don't see a lot of the common people.
Yeah. I feel like there was one or two scenes that were sort of similar with like Arya being in hiding and going through crowds and like,
yeah,
sort of an idea of what King's Landing is like. But yeah, I like seeing the everyday King's Landingers who are all ultra talented circus performers.
That's right. Yeah.
And it starts doing another one of, we've had a couple of these with this show now of the sort of split focus mirror scenes that are happening at the same time. where yes. we go from the fun streets to Allison and some like handmaids and stuff sort of tending to someone said leprosy in an email and I didn't. Yeah, yes. Definitely
yep.
some kind of Westerosi leprosy here that's affecting Viserys because he is covered in gashes and missing fingers and not looking in a good way.
Well, as someone else pointed out, the throne rejects those whom it does not deem worthy. And Viserys is getting rejected hard.
Well, yeah, by the chair, but not by the people, because they're all doing a little show down the bottom about the succession, which seems to be the only topic of play that they ever fucking put on in this country.
Yep. And I mean, like, this isn't the bit that I thought was on the nose, but it is, because they used it in Game of Thrones for the exact same purpose. Just right. like, hey, here's something to make you feel insecure and uncomfortable about the way you're perceived. Here's a little play.
Yeah, the little play is about how no, and everyone's yelling out that they don't want Rhianna to be king or to be queen. They want the baby Aegon. And it's all farting and shitting. It's all, you know, a mama's farce, as they call it here.
Viserys did a big fart in the party. Did you catch that? When he made a joke, he laughed and did a huge fart.
That sounds so made up to me. Having missed that part, it sounds like the when you'd get just sounds.
It's true. God. I swear to God, it's true.
Well, they need to caption that because I didn't see no fight. But yeah, we've got these guys doing their little show.
Yes.
Which, yeah. Again, I would if I lived in Westeros, I would be like that fucking YouTube commenter who's like, "Don't make things political. Why can't we go back to just entertainment?"
Yeah, I see this as more of the Mad Magazine of the times.
Yeah, well,
because there's no TV shows to parody. You can't do like Poultry Guys or fucking all of the other movies.
That's true. I'm sure they all talked about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we've got Rhianna goes running off down the street because she steals a little bit of fruit off of someone's plate or something like that.
Yep,
and we get. Her running off, having a great time with Daemon, walking past some more clowns. There's fucking clowns everywhere. These clowns have big triangle hats on.
Yeah.
Getting past a guard who I now realize may be a bit more relevant, seeing as this like rumor starts spreading about them by the end of the episode. Maybe he'll come back, but they pass a guard who sees them. And that's sort of intercut with Alicent being awoken by a servant who's there to get her for the king, and they end up having just the worst, most eyes glazed over, leprosy sores on his back. God damn, how'd I end up here? This isn't my beautiful wife. This isn't my beautiful house. Sex.
Yeah.
While
I assume Viserys is still pissed as well, right? Like, he's been drinking all day.
That's true.
He's just like, yes, call for the queen.
Apparently, like,
it's awfully late.
Farting is full stops.
Yep.
So she's having no fun up there while, you know, Daemon and Rhianna are down watching a bunch of suicide girls dance. All these just like naked tattoo girls.
God, they were so naked and they're so flexible. I swear you can see their buttholes in some of the scenes.
Look. I'm not going to pretend like I'm the person who knows women's bodies the best out of anyone in the world. But if they're stretching around, I bet you can see buttholes.
Well, you didn't turn up the brightness on your TV like I did.
So they're walking
hypersexual. They're in a brothel, but yeah, you're right. There's also like a show on, which Rhaenyra brings up later as a bit of a defense.
Right.
It's a sex show. Sure, it's a bit, insalubrious, but it's not incest.
Yeah, unfortunately, the incest is not far behind. They go deeper and deeper into this. It seems like it has different, like the further into this brothel you go, the more stuff you're allowed to do, where the front is just like, maybe you'll see a butthole, but you won't be sure. But they're crawling
it'll
around.
It'll be artistic. I mean, I don't know. I've spoken to a friend who goes to sex parties. I think that kind of is how they work out. There's certain rooms you go into. Where if you enter, it's like, I'm up for this, you know? This room, it's it's this and the other thing as well.
See, if I was planning it, I'd do it like a supermarket where I put the craziest stuff up the front, but you got to go all the way to the back for the basic everyday sex.
Just right, missionary up the back.
So you've got to go through the whole thing. You might impulse suck someone off.
Sure, when you get back to the counter, it's like a, you know, vibrating butt plug or something.
And so, yeah, it's doing the intercut thing of like a voiceover of Damon talking about how marriage is a duty, but you're allowed to do what you want if you're, right, you know, the ruler. Intercut, yep, with Alicent just absolutely
not getting to do what she wants.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, Damon and Rhaenyra, he damn near killed her. It's
Rhaenyra, he really knows her well.
Exactly.
Arya.
Hey there, everybody. It's Adam and Ben here from the podcast Arya Talking to Me. You might not have heard from us in a little while, but here we are popping up in the middle of some other podcast to talk about Manscaped.
That's right. This show's about dragons. This ad's about mans.
Hey, you know something I'm probably going to say a bunch during House of the Dragon? That man's caped.
Oh, fuck.
And then you'll go, you know what that sounds like? And I'll be like, no, it doesn't sound like anything. I'm just saying what I mean.
Yeah, you'll force me to go to the next topic. Yeah, we are sponsored by Manscaped. We'll be sponsored every week by the wonderful folks at Manscaped. And, this is a good little reminder for everyone in Australia. Father's Day is coming up.
Sure. Are there different Father's Days in different countries? That's so weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Australian Father's Day...
yep. Is in... early September or something?
Sure. Yeah. You know what fathers have, including what? Yours, listening at home, genital hair.
They've got pubis. Oh, we should have done a, now that I'm staring at it being Father's Day, we should have done a, like, a family politics Game of Thrones, like, if you want to take a blade to your father.
Oh. No, what we should have done is something different and then stop ourselves in the middle of it to do that. Manscaped is a very high-quality pubic hair-focused razor thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been using them for years.
Grooming.
Yes, it's men's grooming products. They have something called the Lawnmower 4.0, which is their electric razor. We have been lucky enough to use them before, thanks to working with Manscaped on another show, and it's literally the best electric razor I've ever owned or used.
Same. And it's a good present that you can get. You can get yourself like this thing called the performance package, which, yep, includes that lawnmower, and you can get a nose hair and ear hair trimmer.
Yep.
All these like ball deodorants and stuff, little leather pouch.
That's right.
Good quality leather pouch. But here's the thing as well that I would say. Father's Day is coming up, and absolutely this company's called Manscaped. Mm-hmm. You can use this to chop anybody's hair.
That's right. Doesn't have to be, dude.
I use this shit on my face.
Yeah, me too.
I got a ball sack styled face.
Yeah, he
and
does.
And it works perfectly.
He does. We'll have to put up a photo of Knox's ball sack
style. We're not allowed. That's why I'm not really on social media. Yeah. My face keeps getting deleted because it looks like a ball sack if I trim it with the fine products from the people at Manscaped.
If only Elon had bought Twitter, we'd have, you know, we'd have ball sack photos everywhere. But yeah, it is the perfect gift. It does come in a little nice little gift baggy thing. And should I read some of their quote unquote funny copy?
I think we've gotten the idea across.
Okay. Well, treat your dad and yourself or anyone else and join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com, entering the code ARYA.
ARYA.
That's it. Like from Game of Thrones.
Oh, I get that now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So use the code ARYA at manscaped.com. You get free shipping and 20% off your order. If you're going to buy your dad a Dad's Day gift, why not get a little discount and some free shipping? It makes sense to me. And I am one of the hosts of this podcast. So thank you, Manscaped, for supporting the show. And go give them a look, manscaped.com.
ARYA.
Did you catch who went in first?
I think it's her.
Yeah. I thought so. He's putting himself in the position, but I think she leans in.
I mean, it makes sense because, like, by the end of it, she's going in for more and he's pulling back and everything. And
yes.
I do think, I don't know why he's doing this, if this is sincere or not yet, but it does feel like a trap. So it makes sense that he lays the trap and then she goes into it and springs it.
Yep. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, based on what he says later and the fact that he lies about it or at least embellishes it later, which, yeah, is kind of worse.
Well,
like, if it was sincere, it'd be like, well, okay, in their culture and in their history, an uncle and a niece is not that weird, which all of this stuff is just purely cultural and what you've been brought up to, you know, feel weird about. But... yeah, it's worse if he's completely insincere.
This sounds like the beginning of like a weekly segment where you're like, it's all made up. It's all just arbitrary. It's all culture. We could change it if we wanted to.
Well, I mean, but I guess like the tragic thing about, say, Jaime and Cersei wasn't that they were in love. It was like everything else about their lives. But it's kind of shitty of him to be doing this as a manipulative ploy on top of it being incest, I guess.
Yeah. It does seem like... because I don't know if he did embellish it. I can't tell if they fucked. It's all...
oh, I don't think they did.
They got their pants off. That's what I've been led to believe it is. You take your pants off, you stand in the same room for a while, 9 months later, out pops my brother.
Shout out to your brother, too, if he's listening. Yeah, I assumed it was not full on, but it's still bad enough, quote unquote, bad enough that it, like, you know, sullies the reputation.
Yeah, it's brief as well, and the fact that Damon stops it makes it hard to tell if he's doing this for a ploy or if he is doing this sincerely, and then he's like, oh, wait a minute, this is weird, because they go out. Here's a theory I'm thinking, right?
Okay.
They go out. This little kid sees him.
Did you say Ethereum? Are you a crypto guy now?
No, please don't paint me with that brush. But like, this is what I'm thinking about how they went down to King's Landing and spent a little Dogecoin. I mean, regular coins. This kid sees them. He's the one who tells the people in the court and tells Otto. The kid is later giving money to, I forget her name, but the woman that Damon briefly married and he wakes up in her protection.
Oh, yeah. Missaria, I think. Well, he pretended he married, right? I don't think they were ever actually married.
Right. But Missaria is Theria. And I'm thinking maybe Damon... because how did he shack back up with Missaria? He seemed kind of surprised to see her, but also he's sleeping in a place where she knows where he is. Is he getting like her to get this kid to tell Otto? Is he planting this story?
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. Because his plan is revealed to be, well, just let me marry her.
Mm.
And then I'll be really strong because I'll be married to a Targaryen and that'll shore up all of my credentials. So it could be that. It could be that Missaria, after being rejected, essentially, like used again as a ploy by Daemon in a previous episode, maybe she's doing it because she wants to make some moves and she felt like she was being put into that position of fear, like she actually said out loud. Mm. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. It absolutely could be that or the other thing.
And I guess by the end of this episode, the point is that we don't quite know yet. Because what happens is Thingo goes home, Rihanna goes home. And there's Knight Corey standing out the front. Kristen Cole.
Yeah.
Saying Kristen Cole does feel like he is an ex One Direction member.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And she's all horned up from clown school, like everyone ends up.
Yeah, this is not... actually, this had me thinking again as well. Like, did she pick Kristen Cole as her bodyguard because he's hot? Or because she genuinely thought he was the best knight there?
I think they've got a bit of a personal connection, but I do think that she also had reasons for thinking he'd be the best one.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And yeah, you're right, this is more just, what do they call it? Like referred pain when you've got like a toothache and your head hurts, or your leg hurts, I guess would be more referred. This is referred horniness.
Sure, right. Yeah. Also, the horny episode, but then also... I mean, horny in the way that there's fucking low cello and spiky, stabby strings over the top. It's meant to be bad horny, but there's also a lot of the tapestry.
I guess it's not. Honestly, it's not horny at all. Then, if it's mostly strings.
Oh, I figured it out. All right.
You've unraveled my riddle.
I figured it out. That was the epic version of epic strings version of what I'd say. But like the a lot of the tapestries around the castle are all they look like sort of Kama Sutra poses and that type of like
yeah.
horny stuff. It's a horny castle. But anyway, these two have a very long clothes taking off, have sex scene, which the whole time it feels uncertain how consenting Corey is to this.
I would say he's absolutely just doing it because she's the princess. I don't think he wants to do it.
It seems like that because there's obviously, there's a lot of armor they have to take off. It takes them fucking forever yep. to take all their clothes off. So that yep. is a lot of time for him to be like, oh, actually, but also she's the princess. So yeah. what's he meant to fucking do?
Absolutely. Yeah. He's like literally been hired by her, put into a really, you know, good position for him. Reverse cowgirl. No, but you know, he's like a Kingsguard now. And it's like, I mean, it's, yeah, it's pretty fucked.
Once
it's
again.
Like, well, I feel like I can't back out.
Irritating to have to think about the real world when watching a TV show. Don't do a play about the king. Let me watch yep. a play about that tight-roping guy.
Yes.
But yeah, it's they end up fucking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Otto gets the news from this messenger. They say that the kid has been sent from the White Worm.
Oh, yeah.
Which, if you're thinking the word worm and you're thinking the color white, there's a guy with white hair who rides a wormy dragon.
Yeah, true.
So, true.
Viserys.
You're close.
Rihanna. Oh, she's not a guy.
Think brother.
Guy, what brother? Corlys, he doesn't have a dragon.
You're wrong.
I give up.
It is bloody Daemon who wakes
it's
up.
It's bloody Damo.
Wakes up in some bed he's got.
Yep.
Has a strange conversation that honestly confused me with Missandei. Right. Because I was like, how did he get here? Why is he asking if he's her prisoner?
Yeah. I assume he like literally just like kept drinking and woke up there. Like he stumbled there, you know, after a weird night of trying to process some stuff that he maybe doesn't feel great about having to have done.
That's what I thought at first.
And they're a little bit adversarial, just, you know, considering they were like a couple. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird dynamic here.
Clearly that's ended in the time jump. And
yeah, true.
For some, she's being handed money, so maybe she's the White Worm. She's wearing a white dress.
Oh, yeah.
But and if I had a nickname, I'd always wear the color of that nickname so that everyone
right.
knew who I was.
Especially if I had a nickname as cool as the White Worm.
Guess what? You could easily get that nickname.
Richard Scarry's the White Worm.
Next morning, Otto is breathing deeply, having to steel himself yeah. to tell the king this news. Which it takes him a while and a few goes to kind of do.
Yeah, it really does.
He's doing a lot of like, I don't want to say it, but...
you know, they...
Rihanna and Daemon, they were like...
The White Worm entered the dragon pit. Can I put it that way?
He was the king of the narrow sea, if you know what I mean.
And that's the one that's going to stick for some reason. I took it as him being... trying to look as if he was being sensitive and delicate. The more, we talk about how that information actually came to him, the more I think perhaps he was being genuine. Certainly what happens to him and his position in the court later on suggests that maybe he literally, you know, did not want to have to do this. But he breaks the news that he's been given, information from a little kid that they be fucking.
Otto could also certainly be the White Worm too. Like he could be
yes.
out looking for stuff. He says that he has to protect his sources is where this kid came from. So like,
I know
he seems to have some knowledge of the network that this kid is a part of. The kid's not some random kid who's shown up.
I assumed on first you know, thought on first glance that, yeah, he just had a network of spies like Varys used to, you know, his little birds.
Yeah.
He's the hand of the king. And one of them, you know, was spying on the princess because of all the reasons that we've felt sus about Otto, you know, up till now. He doesn't actually want her to be part of the line of succession.
So there's a number of people who could have done it with the candlestick in the fucking conservatory or whatever, but yeah, at this point. But as understandably, Viserys does not react particularly well to this news.
No.
He's like, fuck you, you've been lied to, fuck you, it wouldn't happen, fuck this, fuck you.
Yeah. And then Alicent is in the background.
Yeah, she's like doing that thing where people put their hands and legs against the top of a roof so that they can yeah, be up there like Spider-Man without anyone noticing. She's just behind some, yep, one of those big, what do you call them, like the changing screens.
Yes.
And she hears as well and then summons the princess via an awkward little interaction with Corey, Knight Corey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, Alicent is like, so this is totally fucked up. What the fuck have you done? This is so irresponsible of you. Why would you do this? Why would you root your uncle? And Rhaenyra, so I'm reading this recap. It's written by Men's Health, so I don't know how reliable it is.
They're the source I would go to for TV recaps.
Yeah, but this, it says here, meanwhile, Rhaenyra lies to Alicent when asked if she slept with her uncle.
She kind of does.
I guess she lies... She lies a bit, yeah.
She's coming across like she's lying as well. Like, the first thing she says is vile accusation, and, like, she definitely doesn't say it.
She doesn't say what they did, that's true. She said, we were hanging out, we were drinking wine, we went to a brothel, yeah, okay?
He keeps going.
What's so bad about that?
Nothing happened. Like, she's pretty... I don't know if she does the lawyery thing of not directly saying it. I'm watching the dialogue go by, but
that's what I think is, I guess, it's a lie of omission where she says, this is what happened. You know, we got drunk, we went to a brothel, we watched a show. Then at some point he left and I went home. So she doesn't say, and she never says, I never hooked up with him.
I mean, the way that she's saying it by going like, to question my virtue is an act of treason and stuff. She is saying she didn't do it, even if she doesn't use the word. She's fucking lying here, I reckon.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just was not sure if she was, like, trying to be a lawyer or not. Right. But yeah, you're right.
She is clever, so maybe. But Alicent is seemingly being very genuine and, like, being kind of a friend and now, like, a weird mother figure to her of, like,
yeah,
actually being in her corner for this and genuinely wanting the story and to help. I trust Alicent with this, which maybe is a bit silly because, you know, her and Otto are very clearly in it together.
Yeah, I guess probably because I reckon you have that impulse and so do I, because we've seen Alicent be very upfront so far.
Mm.
Like, she, even when she's doing stuff that is a little bit dishonest, she visibly doesn't seem to enjoy it. She's not happy in the marriage to Viserys, and we've seen that on her face. So she seems like someone who is particularly open and easy to read.
Also, Rhaenyra does say, I was only a spectator. I didn't do anything.
That's right.
So yeah. She's flat out lying.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the thing with Alicent is that her power is to ingratiate herself. But I don't think that's what she's doing here. She comes across as though she's actually trying to help. Because what's more to fucking ingratiate? She's in.
Exactly. I think that's the bottom line is like, well, yeah, I guess it would be a bit better for her if her son was officially the heir, but she's already the queen, so who cares?
And
it feels like Otto is more concerned about legacy than Alicent.
And Alicent is looking out for the same stuff that the king is, because like she, by the end of this, starts talking about, hey, we got to marry you to someone. It's really important and it'll fuck it up if everyone thinks you fucked your uncle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Is very much the same thing that the king says to her later on. But first, Daemon shows up all hungover. Boy, he seems hungover today.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, or regretful. I'm not sure which.
He's being dragged up into, I think, the throne room, chucked on the floor.
Yeah.
and yeah. out comes Viserys and his best intimidation blacks, like
yep,
ready to kick a couple of ribs.
I just don't buy him though. Like, he never comes across as actually threatening.
Sure, I mean, he's not like the war guy for sure, but he seems genuinely fucking mad about this.
Oh, he's mad.
He's doing mad. The most that he can. If Daemon yep. wasn't hungover and weak as hell and sweating out all the booze from before, which is, I guess, why they've made him so hungover.
Yep. yeah, true.
But he jumps on him with a knife and shit. Like, he's really mad, but then ultimately he's like, please leave.
Please go back to the castle that I gave you.
Yeah. But
that's it. It's like he's like, unlike a lot of, you know, men in these stories and this show and Game of Thrones, he's not literally impotent, but he, like, rather than being literally impotent, he just is kind of, you know, personally, character-wise, a bit impotent.
It's interesting because this is like the situation where the person on the throne has been in the least jeopardy out of
right.
the entire run of Game of Thrones, other than maybe Robert Baratheon before the boar or whatever. So, like...
Right.
It's pretty interesting to see a very different kingdom. Like, it all feels different, and I'm enjoying that this is such a different show in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So he tells him, hey, I fucking heard what happened. And rather than lying about it like Rhianna did, Viserys is like, did you fuck my daughter? And Daemon's like, you smell my fingers and tell me. He's just crook about it. He's straight up about it. And tells the king, like, let me marry her. We'll get out of your fucking hair. We'll be strong as hell. And it's the tradition of our family. This is normal for us. Or at least it's historically...
Right.
Happened before.
Right.
But then, Viserys sees it as the sort of power play it seems to be.
Exactly. He says, you don't want my daughter, you want my throne, right? Like, that's even worse, honestly. So, back off he goes. He's exiled again. A very brief time back in the limelight for Daemo. He's back off to Dragonstone.
Uncle Damo's a fucking psycho, man.
Well, she is Australian.
You hear what Uncle Damo
did? Maybe she's
did?
Tasmanian. Fucking Uncle Damo, he fucking rooted his niece.
Fucking hell.
I mean, I guess my sister, if I'm calling him Uncle Damo.
So then Alicent and Viserys have a little chat. You know, pretty open and seem to be on the same team of sharing how it went. It seems as though their plan was like, okay, well, you talk to Rhianna and I'll go talk to Daemon and we'll meet back up. And Alicent is sold on the nothing happened story.
Yeah. It's kind of pointed out. I mean, it's shitty in that she was lied to by her friend. But in the grand scheme of, like, politics... It's kind of like if within the walls, right? Within the four walls of the actual people in power, it's kind of less relevant whether or not they did fuck. It's worse that people think they did.
The king says it later on. Viserys tells her. So, like, they, he has a bit of a thing to Alicent just before they leave here of, like, saying how similar Daemon and Rhaenyra in that they've both got like the blood of the dragon, which I think means just a hothead. And I guess they are dragon riders, which maybe there's literally some blood thing to do with that I don't know about. But like he's still, even though Alicent says, no, I trust her, he is still off on it and says exactly this to her when she gets sort of summoned to his model train room later on.
Yep.
That it doesn't matter if it happened or not. Perception is the important thing, and you've fucked us on that.
Yeah.
You need to go off. You need to go marry Corlys's son, whatever his name was. And she's like... Lainor? No,
it says Lainor here, okay. And I trust men's health.
Lainor and Woodley, the two sons of Corlys up there. She needs to marry one of them because... you know, that will solve a thing. And she kind of yells at him, like, don't make me solve your political headaches. And he yells back at her, you are my fucking political headache, which...
I know. Have you seen... I don't know if you've seen In Bruges. Have you seen that?
Ages ago. I don't remember it.
Great scene where Rafe finds, yells at his wife down the phone, "You're an inanimate fucking object." And it had extreme, extreme that vibes.
Right. There's nothing
You're
better.
You're my political problems.
Someone with an English accent can yell any noun at somebody and it sounds like an insult if they're angry enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You fucking spoon.
You absolute fucking table.
You dishwasher. I just did the dishes before this. Can you tell that spoon and dishwasher are the first two words on my mind?
I was looking at a table, brother.
But so they have this sort of pretty equal chat.
Yeah.
About their responsibilities, like yet another having to tell her. And I'd be sick of it if I was him too, being like, you're the fucking gonna be queen.
Yeah.
Pull it back a little.
Yep.
How many times do I have to foreshadow the Night King with some dumb fucking knife or whatever before you'll start taking this seriously?
Yeah. Jon Snow getting a mention, right?
The prince that was promised.
The prince that was promised, or yeah.
I guess so, but he just wanders off eventually. So, like, but I guess he does do something. But what was the actual? I'm gonna go back and look at what the actual quote here is.
It's something like that, because it's like it's a descendant of Targaryen blood will be the prince who was promised, and he will weave a song of ice and fire or some shit.
Yeah, and I guess rather than it being a good thing, it's a bad thing because it's the end of the Targaryens.
Yeah.
He kills Daenerys and he fucks off. So I suppose that's what the prophecy about, and the ending is actually fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, they have a talk. He says the thing about perception and she's like, well, you wouldn't be saying this to me if I was a man. He's like, yeah.
Right.
But you're not.
You didn't have the good luck to be born a man. It's a hard knock life for a girl out here in this, and I think Damo says it earlier. He says like something about, oh, it's when they reference, I think, Rhaenyra's mum. He's like, yeah, that was tragic what happened to your mum, but it's a tragic world.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Viserys is saying as well.
And they're right and it's realistic, but everyone seems pretty consigned to not changing it. You know, they're all pretty happy to go
The guys in power are happy to point it out, but they're also happy to be in power.
Yeah. Imagine.
If only that was.
But so this gives Rhaenyra a chance to kind of throw back. Well, how about Otto being a bit weird? How about that guy being a little untrustworthy? Do you trust that guy? Which is sort of coming out of nowhere for her. I don't know if
she's
said much
I think
about
she's,
that before.
She's thought it. I feel like she's been sus about it. She's been sus about what happened with Alicent in terms of ingratiating herself with Viserys after the death. I think that she's definitely noticed it.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's like... I don't know. Maybe we're forgetting something, but she's probably observed the stuff that we've observed.
She's certainly been around it, and I'm sure that Daemon at some point has said to her, or she gets that vibe off of him, because he definitely outwardly said it.
Yep. Yeah, yep, for sure.
But, you know, it's another similarity between the two of them. They probably get along real well. They should go on a
I mean, she knows from Alicent that Otto was the one who delivered the news about the spying.
That's
right?
The thing that she's talking about here for sure. Yeah, she says this news came from him. Can you trust him? Yeah. Because also he's untrustworthy. So she kind of broadens it out, but it is because of that. And she's like, I'm going to do my duty and I'll marry Laenor.
Laenor, yes.
But how about you do yours? And get rid of the snake, which the king promptly does. He fires Otto, takes his badge off slowly.
Yep. He also points out, something that we had no way of knowing, but he's like, hey, the last time, you know, there was going to be a king, he died at a pretty convenient time for you to, you know, slot into the last time there was going to be a hand, maybe even.
Yeah. So, he tells a story about, I think, his brother when his dad was still on the throne.
Right. Balon? Yeah,
Balon. The Brave.
Yeah.
That he goes out, dies 5 days after that would have happened, and he doesn't tell him it was you, but he's like, you've capitalized, as loyal as you say you are, and you've served a couple of kings, you've also capitalized on our misfortunes, and it seems as though that's happening again.
Certainly seems to be convenient for you, Otto.
Yeah, it was a good day for you when you were named Hand of the King. He's like, well, I don't think so. I hate it. I don't even want this.
Yeah. It's actually kind of a tough job, honestly. Can I just go do something else?
Please fire me. And he also says that he was kind of foolish to marry Allison. That he like says, I know that you told her basically to come and comfort me, but, and you know what? I took that, even though looking back, maybe I was being a little silly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. He's such a weird character, Viserys. It's like at times he seems really insightful, and other times he farts at the end of his joke sentence.
Yeah.
And is like pushed around and yeah, he's sort of manipulated more by like the he's just manipulated. He seems to be a bit vulnerable to that. But yeah, I don't know. He's a great character. He's super, super gray. Like you don't really know where you stand with him, which I think he's good. He's interesting at least to watch.
And he says in the previous scene his kind of view on it of like, when Rhaenyra is telling him about how she doesn't trust Otto, he's like, yeah, everyone's self-interested.
Yes.
She, you know, has a problem with Otto capitalizing and stuff. Every fucking person you're ever going to talk to here in the court of the king is going to be trying to get something for themselves, and it's unavoidable. So you can kind of tell by, if that's how he looks at it, why it is that, well, yeah, it seems like a bunch of those people have shown up.
Right.
But he tells him, I can't trust your judgment anymore, Otto. Takes his badge away, and off he trots.
Yeah, back to wherever. Old Town, I think, is where the High Towers are from.
Sure, right.
And then, we don't see who he makes hand, though, do we?
No, not yet. I'm sure that there will just already be someone, probably after a time jump, by the next episode.
Yes, yep. But who it will be?
Who knows?
Is what I'm curious, yeah.
In the meantime, though, it ain't going to be... Not that it probably would have been the baby that Rhaenyra had with her uncle, but
or Kristen Cole,
or Kristen Cole, I guess. Yeah, sorry, it couldn't have been the. I don't know heaps, but I know how that works. They didn't stand in the bedroom for long enough to have a brother out 9 months later.
That's right.
It's got to be for a while, and I've got to keep my eyes closed and stay in my room.
That's right.
Fingers
but
in the ears,
the king,
please.
The king thinks it was Daemo's.
Right.
Baby. And I mean, you know, convenient for Rhaenyra to be getting the Plan B pill for, what would have been potentially Kristen Cole's baby.
But having it forced on her is that, you know, she gets this fucking potion from the Maester, no choice of her own. She's a tool being used by all these men. And it's a stinky fucking way to be. And if you disagree with that, fuck you.
Fuck you. We don't see her drink it, though, do we?
No, it just sits on the table. That's true. The Maester leaves before she has it.
I did. I assumed she probably would have. Because I don't know that she would want to have a baby, A, now, or B, with Kristen Cole.
And I mean, she does a lot of talk of, you know, being aware that a baby is a trap in her position. So, like...
Absolutely, yeah.
I doubt
wanting
she
to
would
be
want it, but
solitary.
The reason she doesn't want it is so that she can have freedom, which is being taken away from her if she's made to drink it.
Totally. Fucking good episode. Like I said before, I think we started chatting about it. It's a lot of shit happened. Like a lot of shit is happening in every single episode. I do think it is probably because of the time jumps. We are getting to like the crux of every plot point in every episode, basically.
And there's only one story taking place, right?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of characters still, but there's not five different locations that we're sort of seeing one furthering of every episode. We're getting...
True.
One story being told much quicker.
Yeah. We didn't even, I think, jump over to Corlys and his family.
No.
When, you know, like, you'd imagine if this was, had the breadth and scope of a Game of Thrones, it'd be like, well, okay, we're going to treat maybe Corlys' son, Laenor, as another main character, and so we'll follow his perspective and his wants and desires and, you know, ambitions. But we're not. We're sticking with the Targaryens and... I think we're better for it. It's because it is also really, really good and interesting.
It works. I like it as a point of difference. I like both, but it's enjoyable to watch a different version so that it doesn't feel like a retread.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Well, that's it. King of the Narrow Sea. The episode, subtly known as Pussy. That was another good one. I really liked it. I'm not sure how long we stay with the same cast. I think we talked about this last week.
Right.
We're going to change up at some point, but I thought, yeah, specifically Millie Alcock was really good in this episode.
Yeah. I don't know her name, but the one playing Alicent is really selling those half there, half thinking about something else looks.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing a great job.
The fact that, yeah, we're not entirely sure if Alicent is genuine or is also, you know, doing some maneuvering on her own behalf is, I think, yeah, testament to the performance of Olivia Cooke.
Olivia Cooke.
Is Alicent, yeah.
Not enough cooks in the kitchen as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, and that wonderful note is where we will end this episode of Are You Talking to Me? If you like the show, please rate and review it on iTunes or Spotify. It helps get it in front of other people. Just tell your friends about it if they're looking for someone to, you know, listen to talk about House of the Dragon. And yeah, get in touch on the socials or at ariatalkingtomepod@gmail.com. And we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.